Good evening. This is Dr. Marilyn Miles and Clarence Miles on Till Death Do Us Part. Tonight, we will be discussing bitterness and forgiveness. Say hello, Miles.
Hello, hello.
We wanted to start with this topic tonight because there are so many people who are going through this issue. And let me ask you a question. Have anyone ever done anything to you so awful that it was hard to forgive them? And if it was hard to forgive them, did you forgive them? Today, we're going to talk about dealing with bitter thoughts and emotions that take root in your life. Now, it is so easy to be bitter. And bitterness occurs when you don't forgive. And so in this episode, Miles and I want to share with you that you can let go of bitterness and you can let go of bitterness and move to forgiveness. Normally we don't share scripture, but tonight I do want to share scripture with you. Proverbs 18:19 says, "A person who stays offended or bitter lives within a wall of bitterness." If you stay offended, you will live within a wall of bitterness. Basically, what it is saying is if you don't forgive and you hold on to the offense, you will live in a wall of bitterness. What is bitterness? Bitterness is a constant feeling of anger and unhappiness due to something that has happened in your past, something that someone has done to you in your past. Bitterness is ill will, not feeling good about something someone has done to you. And you know what? Most of us walk in bitterness.
Sure, it's an addiction. It can be an addiction. It's everywhere. I mean, you could sort of do a self-examination when you're in traffic, how you respond to certain things while you're driving. We're so accustomed to anger. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It seems to be the only option, but the Bible says that it rests in the bosom of fools.
Absolutely.
So if you're just walking around and that's your only option is to be angry about what happened, then you can always find something to be angry about if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think bitterness goes a little deeper than anger because the Bible says bitterness is a root. And you know when there's a root in a weed or root in a plant or root in a tree, that root grows. And according to that scripture in Proverbs, which just blows me away, that bitterness will build a wall around you. Do you know what that means? That means that everything in your life, that bitterness will affect. And a lot of times in relationships, if that husband cheats or if that wife cheats, the relationship can't heal because of bitterness. You'll see the bitterness that everything that man or woman does, that partner brings up. You know, that partner's checking cell phone. Every time there's an argument, they bring up the past. That's bitterness. And bitterness builds up around is like a wall around you.
In most cases, we don't know how to respond to certain issues.
Right.
We don't know how to respond. And then it happens. In most cases, when it happens, you're unprepared.
That's
You
good,
know,
Mons.
how can you be prepared for seeing your husband with another woman in a restaurant that he didn't know you were coming to, or
Right.
he's you see him and he don't see you.
Right.
It's just a scenario. I
So
mean,
you hold on to it.
how do you respond to that? I think people should plan how they're going to respond to anger. Sh
Wow.
should be planned.
That's right.
Because if you respond impulsively, You know, it can be very dangerous. Impulsive respond, in most cases, doesn't work out well in any situation.
Right.
Impulsively.
Right. And so if there's an offense, though, if you handle an offense immediately, and then forgive, you can come out of bitterness. You don't even have to touch bitterness. The problem with bitterness is folk hold on to their anger. And what they're doing when they hold on is building a wall around themselves. People don't understand that when they are offended in a relationship, whether it's a friendship or marriage, and I totally agree with, you said something earlier, Miles. You said something earlier. We expect too much of each other. Mm-hmm. And I wish you would elaborate on that in a minute. I want to finish my thought. I think that if people get offended, then immediately, even in a marriage, immediately you work on resolving it. You work on resolving it and make a conscious effort to forget.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of difficult to plan how you're going to respond to those extreme major issues.
But you said prepare.
Yeah, but
you still should prepare.
But you know who are we that we are so perfect that we can't expect something negative to happen?
Right, right.
You know, we expect such a perfect life that when something devastating occurs, we are shocked and surprised.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why would you be shocked and surprised about something that a human being
that
does?
That a human being does. That's right. Yeah. Boy, Miles, you are telling the truth. Why? Mm-hmm. When we are so we're so small and feeble and so imperfect that how dare we think of ourselves so great that someone can't offend us. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if we realize how small and feeble we are and so weak as humans, if we realize who we are as human beings, then we will understand how important it is to not let things fester. You don't let things fester. You don't hold ill will about what mama did, what daddy did, what my abuser did, what my mama didn't do, what my man did, my first boyfriend did, my husband did. They are human. Mm-hmm. And you don't let that anger fester, because once it festers, it causes so much. And it even caused, I heard a brother, Todd Hudson, I think his name is Todd, but Brother Hudson did something on healing. And he said, if you don't forgive, it could cause serious illness. And then you can't be healed. You cannot be healed until you forgive that individual. Mm. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And so I love what you say about us being imperfect. Mm-hmm.
I've done self-examination, and I look hard back. I look back hard in retrospect at the huge mistakes that I made in my lifetime. And my hugest mistakes, and you got to hear this well, my hugest mistakes were made when I thought I was smart.
Wow. When you thought you were smart.
So now when I look back at my behavior, when I thought I was sharp and smart, And I can see how dumb I was, I'm almost afraid to think.
Yeah.
Without So I don't respond to things impulsively. I try very hard to do an evaluation of what has taken place before I respond. Because most of the time, when you respond to something large or something big that happened, something extremely negative in your mind, if you're going to respond to it right away, impulsively, snap at it right away, you usually have responded to it the wrong way.
Right.
I used to watch Barack, and when Barack had a tough question, he never answered it right away.
Right.
He always paused.
Pause. You're right.
And evaluated before he opened up his mouth.
Right.
He made sure that his mouth don't speak before his brain, but thinks.
I was thinking of the Bible story of Joseph. And Joseph had so, and I'm starting to tear up because it's so, you know, circumstances in life can cause you to be bitter, cause you to have ill will. And just like Joseph in the Bible, his brothers thought they had killed their own brother, threw him in the hole, left him for dead. But then when they came to get food, he could have been bitter. He could have said, you left me in the hole, lock them up. But it's such a beautiful, beautiful story when you look at how kind he was to his brothers, when his brothers came to get food. And so it is so important in life for us to not hold ill will, hold bitterness, and to deal with it immediately. You deal with it immediately, then you won't be, you forgive that person, you know? You forgive that person. Somebody owes you money. Somebody cussed you out. I remember when one of my parents hit me. Yes, she hit me. And you know what? God knows I could have hit her back. Those were in my younger days. Remember, I'm from North Philadelphia, right? You just don't hit us like that and get away with it. But, you know, I had no ill will against this parent. And about 10 years later, her son came up to the school to see me, to see how I was doing. And he said his mother told him to tell me she was so sorry what she did. Isn't that something? And so, but I held no ill will against her. I could have been bitter and said, you know what, young man, you got to go. But no, I did not, because, and it's not because I'm good or perfect, but it is because I know what bitterness does. And I know that bitterness is a root. The Bible doesn't say that anger is a root. And anytime something has a root, it has the ability to grow. It has the ability to grow. And bitterness is a root. It's like a weed. It's like those pesky weeds that we have in our backyard that we would love to throw stuff on and they never rise up again. I look at how beautiful our sidewalk look, but then I see some pesky weeds getting ready to grow. And you know what that means? That means you have to pull it out. Mm-hmm. And with bitterness, you have to pull bitterness out.
That's it.
Because without pulling it out, you cannot forgive. Go ahead.
That you refuse to resist has the right to remain.
Can you repeat that?
That you refuse to resist has the right to remain. It has rights. I mean, why leave? Why should it leave?
Yeah.
It's resting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's relaxing. You know.
Having ill will make you feel good.
Yeah. And it's a. I mean, we talk about it on a small scale, but it's a dangerous thing.
It's dangerous.
You know, you could even, you know how many babies are dead because they wouldn't stop crying?
Right, right, right,
you know,
right. And family members who don't speak because they refuse to forgive one another?
Yeah.
And they still holding grudges because somebody said, you can't do this or you shouldn't do this. So you hold grudges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you look at it as a small thing, like if you take something and bang it against a counter or something, I mean, that's an issue. That's a problem. You're really out of control.
Yeah. And you know what else?
Slamming a door.
Yeah. That's the truth. And you know what else, Wells? Some people say, I'm not ready to forgive him yet in a marriage. The other thing is, Miles, how in the world are you not ready to forgive him yet? When in reality, this thing is not one-sided. You know, most of the time, folk can point fingers at one person, but they don't look at what they did to cause it. I think, Miles, our marriage works and we have forgiven each other because both of us have looked at ourselves. What do you think?
I think you're correct. It's a joy to be able to see your errors. I mean, that gives me joy that I pray that God will give me eyes to see me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's a difficult thing in any human being's life.
Yeah.
It's not easy to see your own errors.
Right.
Because it's so easy to point the finger the other way.
Yeah.
And it's comfortable.
It's comfortable.
It's comfortable to blame the other person.
Right.
It's comfortable to judge the other person to be the worst of the two.
Right.
That gives you comfort. That false perception.
Right. It's a false perception.
And it's comfort in it.
Right.
Because you don't have to look at yourself. But it's such a tragedy because you're not going to fix it.
Right.
If you refuse to see it, you got to see it before you can fix it.
Right. Right.
You know, if you were going to do a study,
right?
You got to read it,
right?
You know?
And can I go back to that two sides?
Yeah.
I want to go back to the two sides of the story, and I want to go back to Joseph to use that two side of the story. Now, Joseph's brothers put him in the hole, but the other side of the story, what did Joseph do? Joseph had a dream. And Joseph began to tell that dream, knowing what that dream meant and knowing how the brothers would feel about that dream. Just imagine how those brothers who was older than Joseph felt about Joseph telling them a dream that he's his father's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
He's his father's favorite. I'm daddy's favorite. I had a dream that I was daddy's favorite. Now, how in the world was that supposed to make those brothers feel?
Mm-hmm.
It made them feel insecure, inferior. And back in those days, the oldest son received the blessings. But he's saying he's going to receive the blessing. So what was that brother supposed to do? How was he supposed to feel about Joseph? So here we go. I believe that Joseph understood his error. Being in prison and being under Potiphar and all of that, I think he realized he should have kept his mouth closed. And so bitterness, you know, some people call it righteous anger. He did that to me. But what did you do? Or how did you provoke it? And most of the time, when, you know, it is two-sided in a relationship. It's two-sided. And not only is it two-sided, but a lot of times we need to understand each other. What is, when I understood, when you sat down and talked to me about your mother leaving, and you did this in tears, and I watched you crying, and you telling me how it hurt, and the story just broke my heart. I understood why you loved Edna, and you did love her, even though that was the woman that you had in your life. In our marriage, you loved her, and I understood why you loved her. You loved her because she was a mother to you. She was 15 years older than you, and you had not gotten over the trauma of mama not being with you. And when I understood all that you went through and all your pain as you shared it with me, then the bitterness that I felt against you melted, and I could forgive you. And I could say to you, I understand. And not that I was going to be your mother. I wasn't going to do that. But I understood where you were coming from. And I was going to be there for you as you grew and matured and you forgave yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like I was saying, we're not that smart.
Right.
You know, we're always seeking information. We reading books and looking on the computer and going to college and studying courses. And if you look at the world leaders, they act like little children.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be
smart, brilliant.
They're running the world.
Yeah.
And they just as crazy as blank and blank.
Right.
You know. If they, and I don't even think they knew their lack. You understand me?
Right.
And these are men of power.
Right.
Men of in high places. So I just use that as a form of measure.
Yeah.
You know, if the kings are acting like children.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
sort of make you think.
It makes you think. And you know, Miles, I know we are almost at the end, but I wanted to say, if you hold on to bitterness, then you just can't forgive. You're not going to forgive. And if you don't forgive, you pass it on. Mm-hmm. You pass on unforgiveness. What do I mean by you pass on unforgiveness? If I don't like somebody because of something they did to me, I pass it on to you. Mm-hmm. And you pass it on to the next person. Mm. And then we pass it on, pass it on. And that unforgiveness just goes from
like a cancer.
It grows like a weed. And so
it's misery.
Yeah. And it's misery. It's misery. It is so beautiful to be free where you don't owe anybody an apology, because the Bible say, "Oh, no man, nothing but love." You don't owe anybody an apology. You don't, you forgive everybody. You don't have a root of bitterness in your heart. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Sure.
It's a beautiful thing when you are free in your spirit. You know, why are you going to allow bitterness to mess up your future, to affect your future? I'm not going to let bitterness affect my future. I love you with the love of the Lord. Everybody, right? Mm. Everybody. I'm serious. I just refuse to let bitterness take root in me. And it can get to a point where with bitterness, I know I'm praying for this situation at ABC, because this young man was fired from ABC, and I'm praying for him that he doesn't have a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness will make you retaliate.
Yeah. And the scriptures instruct us that we don't handle vengeance well.
That's right.
We should leave vengeance alone.
Yeah.
Because vengeance is something we don't do well.
That's right. That's right. And when you start vindicating yourself, when you start retaliating,
it's ugly.
Yeah, you know what you're saying? Move over, God. I got this. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
No. Move over, God. Yeah. Because you can't take care of the situation, so I'm going to take care of it myself. And when you begin to take care of your situation, when you lose faith in God taking care of your situation, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You might end up in jail.
Yeah. If you identify your wrong as right, then you are heading for a deep hole.
A deep hole, maybe prison.
Yeah.
And I know it's a hard thing to hear when people have done you dirty. You know, it's a hard thing to hear.
Isn't it amazing how people want to be right so badly? Isn't it amazing that people have to be right?
Wow, that's good, Mom.
You know. Because you don't learn anything when you're right.
Right.
You only learn when you're wrong.
Right.
You can't learn from right. Right has nothing to teach you.
Right.
Wrong has everything to teach you.
Right. Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And when you leave God out of a thing, that's what evil is. The definition of evil is leaving God out of a thing. And so when you leave God out of a thing, you end up doing that which is evil.
Mm-hmm.
So, and whether it's getting the divorce, not reconciling, retaliating, all of that is evil. Because what you're saying is, God, I know how to deal with justice better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't mete out the punishment that I want to mete out. And so I'm the boss here, not you, God.
Wouldn't it be nice if people came to you with their problems like the little kids do in school when you give them a test?
Right.
And they bring you their paper.
Right.
And then you show them the ones that they did wrong.
Right.
And then they tell them to go back and fix it.
Yeah.
So we can live our lives.
I wish we could, Mom. Yeah.
Because the ones that they got right, they don't need any attention at all.
Right.
The little problems that they got wrong on the baptism.
That's right.
Those are the ones you instruct them to work on.
That's right. And we're gonna close now. But in closing, I want to ask you to make a conscious decision to forgive. And it doesn't mean that the other person have to ask for it. You don't have to ask me for forgiveness. I'm going to forgive you anyway. You can forgive someone without them ever knowing that you have, without them ever even asking you for forgiveness. You need peace for yourself.
Even if you're right.
Even if you're right.
That's a hard one.
That's a hard one. Even when you're right. But the beauty of it is, you remember when I told you about the teacher who told me I was nothing and never would be anything? Mm-hmm. And then she was getting her master's degree at Villanova. The last year, I was graduating from Villanova. That was my vengeance. That was my justice. My mother could have come up, cussed her out, beat her up, but instead, we let it go. And then I was vindicated in 1979, May of 1979. I was vindicated because the same woman that said I was nothing and never would be anything, rather than be bitter with her, I proved to her that I was more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we have to live our life. That is the way we have to live our life. Not retaliate, but forgive. So, and finally, the Bible says, if you don't forgive, then what? I'm not going to forgive. What's your expectation? Mm-hmm. You don't want to forgive, but yet you want me to forgive you? We got family members. I know I do. Mm-hmm. That hold grudges.
Sure.
And I can't. And I'm not. I don't get in between family members' grudges. Not my family member grudges. No. I don't get in between their grudges. You know what I do? I encourage them to get that forgiveness. I forgave you because I wanted God to forgive me. And when I tell you, our marriage ends up better now than we could have ever imagined. Would you say so?
Sure.
Well, you got to say more than sure. No, just sure.
I totally agree. I think that studying the Word of God has did a great work,
right,
in our life.
Yes.
And I'm not,
and humbling ourselves.
Yeah. So that's what we that's our truth. So I was trying to say.
Yes.
That's our truth.
Yes, our truth.
Yeah, yeah. Your truth is what you believe, or
yeah,
you know, you have to find the answer.
That's right.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
You know. And if you don't have the answers, it's just confusion.
You know what? I remember, Miles. Yeah. I remember telling God how mad I was with you. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was saying to God, I was so angry. You remember when the police, when the judge let you go? This was years ago, before when we went off the rails. You know, I'm not talking about now. But I mean, I remember being angry that they treated you like a king. Mm-hmm. I was angry about that. And I told God. And you know what? You can tell God, I'm angry. It hurt me. How do you expect me to forgive this? You know what I'm saying? You were getting ready to tell that story one day, so I didn't say everything. I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
I'm sorry.
No, okay.
Okay. So anyway, you get angry. You can tell God you're angry, but don't hold it. I remember God saying to me, you don't see it now, but I love him because he loves me. And when I look at your life now, how much you love the Lord? Listen, I can truly say there is no guile in my husband, in you. You love the Lord and God's people with a perfect love. You run your business the way God would expect a man to run a business. You run it with love. You pay your workers well. You are amazing. You are amazing. And I understand. Now I sit back and say to God, okay, I understand why you told me to hang in there. Because you are the apple of God's eye. And so many other people. I look at our church members. They adore Papa. They adore you. And so, if you are dealing with a root of bitterness today, just tell God, really, just be honest. Be honest with your partner and say, look, I'm hurting. I'm hurting, but I want to forgive you today. So let's hold my hand and let's walk me through this. Be my friend at this moment and walk me through this because I don't want to be bitter anymore. I don't want to be hurt anymore. And I want to forgive you for everything you've done. And let's work this out. And you pray and give it to God, that third person in your marriage, and watch and see what God does. When I say God will heal your marriage, especially if both of you are in tune with the Holy Spirit and want this thing to heal. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anything you want to say, Miles?
Great, great, great discussion. Hope you all can apply it to your life like we applied it to ours.
Amen.
And don't hold unforgiveness and forgive, forgive, forgive.
Oh, I love that. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you've been blessed. We hope this blesses you so much. You can, if you have any questions, you can email us to tilldeathdouspart1995@gmail.com. Do me a favor. Just text us anyway. Text us and let us know you're listening and let us know if it blessed you or not. We love you with the love of the Lord. We'll talk with you next week.
So
God
long.
Bless you. So long.